Lynn Hiles Ministries presents Dr. Lynn Hiles, That You Might Have Life. And here's your host, Dr. Lynn Hiles.
Thank you so much for joining us again this week on the program. I trust you've been following this series as we have been teaching on Revelation Revisited. We are coming to the 21st chapter today. We're going to start in chapter 21. I'm excited about these next two chapters because they really are the conclusion of the redemptive history of God throughout, both with Israel and the inclusion of the Gentiles. And what we have seen through this book is that, of course, it is relevant to a first century group of people because it was written to seven churches that were in Asia, and we have fully established by now that this book is about the end of the Old Covenant and the birthing of the New. And the beginning of the book of Revelation, John says several times, not John, but the angel of the Lord or the messenger of God comes to him and says, come and see, come and see. And now we are at the end of the book, and he's going to say, and I saw. And I hope as we've come now towards the end of this, and the next two chapters to me are the most glorious, because most people can only preach the book of Revelation to about the 13th chapter, and they think it ends with the beast and catastrophes. But it does not end there. It gives birth to a whole new creation, a whole new Jerusalem, a whole new creation that God is making new. And it is a glorious conclusion because it's a victorious eschatology. If you've been blessed by this, let me just tell you to, ask you if you would just kind of maybe send us an email and let us know you're watching. If you've missed any of these, you can go to our YouTube channel, and they are archived there, or at least they will be for a little while, on our YouTube channel. And you can watch them at your leisure and pause, and then you can study them and pause them and so forth. But it's my understanding that from about this time on, anything that we upload to our YouTube channel will have a voiceover in several different foreign languages. So I encourage you to share these videos on your social media platforms and help us to get the message out of the good news of the gospel and of a victorious eschatology. I'm so encouraged by the many letters and cards and the places we go where people show up in our meetings that have been watching these videos, and it's such an encouraging thing to us to see that. So you can do that. You can also get the audio portions of these messages on our podcast, and you can get it for your Android device as an RSS feed, and the easiest way to do that would be to go to my website at lynnhiles.com. In the upper right-hand corner, you will see an icon that is a picture of a YouTube or the little Android thing or the podcast icon, and click on that, go to it, and sign up for it. Also encourage you, if you've not signed up for our Message of the Month Club, that you go to our website and sign up. There is both a streaming service for that, and there is a CD service. And if you would like to sign up for that, that helps us with partnership with people who are receiving messages that we've preached somewhere in the world during that particular season. We send out a message of the month every month. That being said, let me open to the 21st chapter of the book of Revelation. We are upon the heels of the judgment of the great harlot, and we've seen the consistency of God keeping his end of the covenant bargain as he has given Israel, an apostate nation, every opportunity to repent and come into the covenants of promise. As he stood over Jerusalem and wept, he said, how oft I would have gathered you under my feathers, as a hen does gather her chicks, but you would not. Therefore, your house is left unto you desolate. And we showed you in the last several weeks of the desolation of that apostate people in that apostate city. And as soon as the great harlot, the one who committed adultery, the bride or the wife of God, who in the Old Testament had committed adultery and idolatry and forsook their God, had now come to a place where the judgment of the great harlot has already been fulfilled. But the moment she is judged and her smoke ascends up, then they begin to shift and sing, hallelujah. Now is come salvation and the kingdom of our God. And the kingdom of God is then immediately upon the increase. So as we see the bride, and then he says, celebrate, because the bride has made herself ready. So then we shift and we come to Revelation chapter 21, and we're going to talk about the new heaven and the new earth for a little bit here. I don't know how many of these we'll do today, but we're going to cover these chapters. But it says in chapter 21, verse 1, and again, remember, John has been invited by the messenger of the book to come and see. And now he is declaring, and I saw. And so we open Revelation 21, verse 1. It says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and they're faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I want to make a comment about this before I forget to make a comment about that. But as I was meditating on this week, and if you've, like I said, if you've followed the series, we just finished five programs with dealing with the lake of fire and brimstone and connecting and showing you how they connect to the covenant curses of Deuteronomy. But while I was thinking about this week, this scripture kind of was really even on my mind last night, where he said, the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers and sorcerers, and all and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. I think one must connect this, especially to, a first century group of people, because when I started thinking about the whoremongers and adulterers and idolaters, remember, he calls the apostate city of the present Old Covenant Jerusalem as an adulterous, whoremonging woman, and the lies that they that, you know, he talks about in several places, they that embrace the lie, and those that are the unbelieving and the murderers, he calls them the ones who had martyred the saints, that upon them would come the blood of all that were slain in the earth. And so I think one must connect this at least in some dimension with the judgments of this first century, and it may have ongoing results. Of course, I'm not encouraging anybody to be a murderer or an idolater or a whoremonger, but what I'm simply saying is that staying consistent with the theme of the judgments that are taking place, that this was really dealing with these idolaters, these whoremongers, and even where he begins to say later, I don't know if it's earlier or later in this book of Revelation, he said, let him that's filthy be filthy still, because what was happening was, the door was closing to the apostate Jews being able to be brought into the city of God, which would be the new covenant people of God, and being brought into the new covenant. And the door was being closed. So it was like lights out. In other words, he gave them every opportunity to repent, even as we look back at Daniel's prophecies of 70 weeks and then the back end of that book, bookends, which would be Daniel chapter 12, the 3.5 years where the catastrophes that we've talked about all through the book of Revelation came upon the apostate people. So he's saying to them, all right, now it's being taken from you, and given to the nation that's producing the fruit. So let him that's filthy be filthy still. And so I think you have to connect those dots. Now, I want to go back to today, especially because he's talking about the new heaven and the new earth. And when I thought about this, I begin to draw, it's amazing to me how when you start to see these things, that they are all through the scriptures. And there's not just one or two places that I'm drawing out of context to try to bring some sense to this. It is bringing it out of even all of these Old Testament references that prophesied of the coming demise of this nation when they would go whoring after other gods. And so I got to thinking about this new heaven and the new earth, and there's so much that's in my spirit, I'm going to dump it all out at one time here. But I thought specifically of Isaiah 65, and let's look at that and see the context of this. He says, I am sought of them that ask not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me unto a nation that was not called by my name. I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people which walketh in the way that was not good after their own thoughts. A people that provoketh me to anger continually to my face and sacrifices in the gardens and burns incense upon the bricks, upon the altars of brick, which remain among the graves and lodge in the monuments, which eat swine's flesh and broth of abominable things as in their vessels, which say, stand by thyself, come not near me, for I am holier than thou. These are a smoke in my nose, a fire that burns all the day. Now remember, he's using this same kind of terminology in the book of Revelation. Behold, it is written before me, I will not keep silence, but will recompense, even recompense into their bosom your iniquities and the iniquities of your fathers together, saith the Lord, which have burned incense upon the mountains and blasphemed me upon the hills. Therefore will I measure their former work into their bosom. Thus saith the Lord, as the new wine is found in the cluster, and one saith, destroy it not, for a blessing is in it. So will I do for my servant's sake, that I may not destroy them all. Now, and that I will bring forth out of a seed, out of Jacob, and out of Judah, an inheritor of my mountains, and mine elect shall inherit. Remember, he tells them in Matthew 24, except those days be shortened, but for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. He's talking about the elect of the first century, of those that would be the remnant that would be called out of Israel, that would receive the covenants of promise. They would be the first fruits that we talked about in the 7th chapter of Revelation and the 14th chapter. This would be a fulfillment of those that were would be part of the new wine that was in the cluster, that God would bring a seed out of Jacob that would inherit and would be the elect. And my servant shall dwell there, and Sharon shall be a fold of flocks, and the valley of Achor a place for the herds to lie down, for my people that have sought me. But ye are they that forsake the Lord, that forget my holy mountain, that prepare a table before the troop, and that furnish the drink offering under the number. Therefore will I number you to the sword, and you shall bow down to the slaughter, because when I called, you did not answer. When I spoke, you did not hear, but did evil before mine eyes, and choose that wherein I delighted not. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, my servant shall eat, but you shall be hungry. Behold, my servant shall drink, but you will be thirsty. Behold, my servant shall rejoice, but you shall be ashamed. Behold, my servant shall sing for joy of heart, but you shall cry for sorrow of heart, shall howl for vexation of spirit, and you shall leave your name for a curse unto my chosen, for the Lord God shall slay thee and call his servants by another name, that who blesses himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth, and he that sweareth in the earth shall swear by the God of truth, because the former troubles are forgotten, because they are hidden from mine eyes. And then he uses this terminology that we're drawing from in Revelation 21. For behold, I create a new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing, and her people a joy, And watch this, and I will rejoice in Jerusalem, and joy in my people. The voice of weeping shall no more be heard in her, nor the voice of crying. Remember, in Revelation 21, he says, I create a new heaven and a new earth. And he's talking there about a new Jerusalem as well. And he says that there would be, in Revelation 21, that there would be no more crying, no more pain, no more death. He's talking about the weeping and the wailing that are related to the judgments and the curse of that day that they were living in, because he's talking to them and saying, I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. I think you could also connect this to Jesus' message on the Beatitudes when he said, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. One of the things that we have to rejoice in on this side of the new covenant is that we are not under the curse any longer, and the weeping and the wailing and the loss of what we have. You know, when we think about, when he talked about them being cast into outer darkness where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, it was not just them going to hell somewhere down the road in some future dimension. It was about them weeping and wailing and gnashing their teeth because they've been now thrust out and the Gentiles have been brought in. Now, I want to show you that he, in the context of this, when he says, behold, he says, he starts out verse 1, of Isaiah 65, saying, I am sought of them that ask not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me unto a nation that was not called by my name. He's talking about the Gentiles here. And then he said, I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people, which walketh not in the way of God. When I was reading this, I was thinking to myself, where else is this found in the Scriptures? I'm found of them that sought me not. All day long I have held out my hands to a rebellious nation. And I got to thinking, well, that's in Romans, the 10th chapter. And in Romans, the 10th chapter, he's talking about Israel, who did not, they sought it not by faith. They stumbled at the stumbling block, which was Christ. They went about to establish their own righteousness, but that Christ was the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. But then he goes on to say, in Romans, the 10th chapter, verse 11, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference, watch this, between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is of all, is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? And as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things, but they have not obeyed the gospel. Watch this, for Isaiah says, and I'm quoting that. See, Isaiah said it in 65. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily. Their sound went out into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the earth. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah very boldly saith, I was found of her, watch this, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not for me. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched out my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Again, that is a quote from Isaiah, where Isaiah is saying in chapter number 65, all day long I stretched out my hands to a rebellious people, and you did not come into the covenant. In other words, you rejected it. I'm going to read it to you again from Isaiah. I am sought of them that asked not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. And I said, behold me unto a nation that was not called by my name. I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people which walketh in the way that was not good after their own thoughts. And he said he would provoke them to anger. And that's exactly what Paul was quoting. So he's bringing the fulfillment of Isaiah 65. And the context, even as you go on down in the same chapter, in verse 17 of Isaiah 65, behold, I create a new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create, he's talking about a new creation, I create Jerusalem rejoicing and her people a joy, and I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall no more be heard in her, nor the voice of crying. And he begins to talk about the length of days then as he goes on down through there. But what I'm after is there's a profound comparison to Isaiah 65, putting this in the context of the first century, because Paul quotes that as he comes in Romans 10, and he's talking about in Romans the 10th chapter, Israel rejecting their king, their Messiah, Israel not receiving by faith, but trying to go about to establish their own righteousness, and they were about to be rejected, but he's talking to them that says, and he begins to plead with them, the Apostle Paul, using this text, says that all day long, I held out my hands to a rebellious people, but I'm about to be found of them who sought not for me. Because they sought it not by faith, but by works, God was about to hand this to the Gentiles, and it's really the fulfillment of a lot of the parables, and even what Jesus taught in some of his eschatological text, where he said the vineyard, when he sent the servant, or he sent the servants to see the harvest was ready, some of them they killed, others they stoned. Last but not least, he sent the son, his own son, and they said, surely if we kill the son of the owner of the vineyard, then we can receive the inheritance. Well, the fact of the matter is that they killed the son of the owner of the vineyard, and upon them came the blood of all these that were slain, because he held out his hand all the day long, but now he's about to remove them and give the inheritance to the Gentiles and also to the elect Jews who did believe in Jesus. And I believe that's what the fullness of Romans 11 is talking about when he talks about the fullness of the Gentiles being brought in, being included, that all Israel would be saved. And he was talking about that in the context of making both Jew and Gentile one people in Christ, and we will say that even as we go on down through this, as we begin to realize that God's new temple is not made up of just Jews, or nor is it made from wood, hay, block, concrete. It's made out of lively stones and a people that are built together as a habitation of God through the Spirit, that God Himself could be with them, God would indwell them, God would wipe all tears from their eyes, and even the hint of the curse would be removed as God would begin to include the Gentiles. I think that also is the fulfillment of the Scriptures when He says the first will be last and the last will be first. The first were the Jews. They're about to become the last. And the last that were outside the covenants of promise were the Gentiles. They were about to be the first. And they were going to be the first, and the others would be the last. And so when you read these scriptures, even as I started earlier and said, let him that's filthy be filthy still, they have come to the end of their opportunity, because now it is the times of the Gentiles being brought into the promises of God, into the new covenant, where he would tear down the middle wall or partition and make of one body a people for his namesake. I really think that's what the adoption to wit of Romans 8 is talking about. The adoption to wit, the redemption of the body, was that both Jew and Gentiles would be brought into one body, and that body was Christ. And it finds its fulfillment also not only in Romans chapter 8, but in Galatians chapter 3 and chapter 4, where he says that we are no longer servants, but we're sons, because we've been brought out of an old covenant, and that the heir, as long as he is a child, differs nothing from a servant, even though he's Lord of all. And he talks about then that we would be placed as the adoption of sons into this glorious body of Christ. And so when you start to see the new heavens and the new earth, and I'm going to talk about this more in detail as we go on down through here, and as you see, again, he says, as we come to the conclusion of Isaiah 65, and the whole book of Isaiah 65 and 66 is almost a direct parallel of Revelation 21 and 22. Because he's using that same verbiage and articulating the same way. I'm going to pick up again in verse 17. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall no more be heard in her, nor the voice of crying. In other words, that fulfills the whole verse. God will wipe all tears from their eyes. There's a celebration of a new covenant. And there shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days, for the child shall die 100 years old. But the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed, and they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat, for as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall enjoy the work of their hands. He promises longevity to his people. Now, I don't know that we've seen the fullness of that manifested, but I do believe it's available. In other words, people ask me all the time, is Revelation chapter 21, is it past, is it present, or is it future? And my answer to that is yes. It is all of the above. It was the city that was birthed in the first century, but it has ongoing, it is the community of faith throughout all generations that are a part of this new covenant, household of faith, that come in not by works, but through faith. And I believe as we get a hold of this new covenant and stop preaching the law, because 1 Corinthians 15 says that the strength of sin is the law, and it's what gives death a sting. Maybe if we stop preaching the covenant of death, we will lay hold of some longevity. I'm grabbing this scripture for myself today. I'm believing for long life, but a healthy life. And he goes on to say, they shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with him. And it shall come to pass that before they will call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and the dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. I think that this scripture is not talking about physical barnyard animals out in the field. He's talking about the animosity that was between Jew and Gentile and the nations of the earth and the peace that comes by being brought into Christ, because in the holy mountain, there's neither Jew nor Gentile. The wolf and the lamb will feed together. The lion will eat straw like the bullock. All of these different animals were symbolized in the scriptures as nations. I believe God wants to use the church to bring peace in the earth. Well, we're out of time for this particular segment. If you'd like to sow a seed into the ministry to help us to continue to do what we're doing, you can do that by going to our website. And there is a place where you can give through our PayPal portal. And all you have to do is use your credit card or your debit card, and you could set up a monthly debit if you'd like to become a monthly partner, or you could give a one-time gift. You could also become a partner, like signing up, like I said, for our Message of the Month Club, or by simply sending a one-time gift. You could also send your checks or money orders to the address on the screen, or you can call the phone number on the screen and someone will take your call. But do it today. God bless you.
Wouldn't it be incredibly good news if the last days are past days and not in your future? What if you don't have to face a future 7 years of hell on earth called the Great Tribulation and worry about a future mark of the beast? What if you discovered that these events happened in the past and were written about to a first century church and are not in our future? If this interests you, then this study guide will be well worth your time as it explores these and other subjects in great detail.